Welcome to Section 9. My name's Damien Hull.
And I'm Dorothy. And today we're going to be talking about connecting the Raspberry Pis to the Switch.
So in this particular case, our goal was to get your Raspberry Pis connected to your data center switch.
Mm-hmm.
And we're calling that switch SW2.
Right.
And then our core switch is SW1.
Correct.
Now, you're still in a situation where you're still learning and you still have that issue of where do I start? Mm-hmm. How do you begin this process? And we talked about this, I don't know if it was last episode or the one before that, where we were talking about how people in IT have that issue where it's like, okay, we have these, you know, 50, 60, 70 things we need to do. Where do I start? How do I begin this project? So I was going to try and have you sort of connect things and figure things out on your own. And then I thought, no, let's just lay it out the way it's supposed to be. So you get to see it. And then we actually finish this project and we move forward on it because it's been a project that's kind of sat there for a while. It's taken us a while to get there, which is okay. But I thought, you know, we need to quickly move forward. And then later on, what you can do is you can go back and take a look at the notes, your documentation, your checklists, the configurations that we have, and then you can kind of see how things go together. And then maybe you do these or the same project two or three more times on your own to see what you're missing and how things go together. And I think that's where we're at right now. So for this one, I kind of laid things out for you. Again, the main point of this is to get your Raspberry Pis connected to the switch. Now, in order for them to function where they're connected to the switch, because we have a Cisco switch, those ports may not be configured properly. So you may be in a situation where they're connected, but they don't work at all, right? So we have to configure the switch, and we have to make sure that those ports are configured properly.
I think that the easiest thing or the best thing for me was when we did the network diagram. Because even though I know that, you know, my Raspberry Pis have to be connected to a specific port and I know, you know, where the cable, you know, what the cable that I'm supposed to be using is and how to plug them in together. And then I know that I have to have my power cables and, you know, I know all that. Actually seeing the network diagram and choosing the ports, and then figuring out the IP addresses, what subnet where my Raspberry Pis are, you know, because I can't really configure the ports unless I know how to do that. So if it would have been me just trying to plan this, you know, without having done everything that we did, you know, we went ahead and we laid out, we named every Raspberry Pi 1, 2, 3, and 4. We went ahead and we plugged each one to a specific port and we put that port on the diagram and we plugged them into SW2, which is my data center switch. And then we went ahead and connected my data switch to the core switch, you know, and then we had to figure out what port to do that on.
Right. So to kind of put things in order here, we created last episode we talked about how we configured the core switch and plugged in your data center switch, SW2,
right,
so that there was a trunk between those two switches.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what we didn't do is we didn't actually test to see if it was functioning properly.
Correct.
All we did was logged into the switch and see, okay, hey, it's connected. It says there's a trunk. It says it's working. But we haven't plugged any devices into it to see if we can actually use that switch to do anything with it in terms of like your workstation or your Raspberry Pis. Would they function on that particular switch? That's stuff that we hadn't tested yet. So in this case, we went ahead and we made a change ticket. Now, why do we have change tickets?
So we're able to track what we've done. So in case something goes wrong, we either know how to put it back, we know what kind of changes we have made to the network, and we know where things are at, basically.
Exactly.
But for this particular ticket was, we established our plan, and we had a fallback plan, and then what we intended to do was to connect the Raspberry Pis to the network.
Right. And so as part of the ticket or as part of this, as part of the ticket, we wanted to gather information before we created our plan.
Well, and when you said to me, okay, gather information for this, again, being a newbie, not really knowing and not having a job in IT, I would not have known. I mean, I would have known that I needed my subnet and what my IP addresses were. But I would not have sat in there and gone, okay, what's my configuration? What's plugged into this? You know, how do I do, you know?
Right.
What kind of information should I gather, I guess?
Yeah, right. So for the information gathering piece, and this went into the change ticket, not all of it, but a lot of it did. So you did your network diagram, but we also logged into the core switch and gathered some information and added that to the change ticket. And why did we do that?
Because we needed to make sure that we had that specific configuration for it to connect.
Correct. So on our network, we have different VLANs for different things. And you
That's another thing. The VLAN that my Raspberry Pis were in was not configured into my switch.
Correct. So you have a VLAN that you're using for testing, which is where your workstation is at. So one of the things that we did was we tracked down your workstation and figured out what port is your workstation plugged into on the core switch. And then we took a look at that specific port configuration, right?
Right.
And what did that tell us?
That told us that it was configured, you know, my VLAN was there, but it wasn't on my switch.
Right. But what information was there? We're looking at, remember, we're gathering information.
Oh, it had information of whether the port was a trunk port or an access port. Let's see, what else? Oh, how many VLANs were in there?
Right. So remember, this is an access port.
How many ports were in each VLAN?
Well, no. So we're just talking about your workstation and the port that your workstation's plugged into.
So it was basically, you know, telling me where my port was, you know, how my port was configured. The
Correct.
Port that my workstation was configured.
Right. And so what I'm trying to get you to look at is, okay, if I don't know something, there's a device someplace that may be able to give me the correct information. And in this case, because I know that your workstation is on your own VLAN, the one that you're supposed to put your Raspberry Pi data center on, and I also know it has the configuration for the correct mode. And in this case, we're
access
talking about
mode.
Yeah, correct access mode. So all endpoint devices, you know, your workstation, your Raspberry Pis, a printer, a server, they're typically going to be in access mode. There may be a reason why you would change that for very specific situations. But for the most part, all your ports are going to be in access mode when you plug in like your workstation or your Raspberry Pis.
Right.
So we ended up using that information and we added that to the ticket. And then we were able to modify some of that to program your data center switch or SW2.
Right. So the port number one was connected to the core switch, correct?
Correct.
Port number one on my database switch, my data center switch, was connected to the core switch. So I couldn't use port one. So what I did is the Raspberry Pis were 2, 3, 4, and 5. And then my workstation, we went ahead and instead of having it, you know, leaving it plugged into the core switch, we ended up plugging it in into port number 6, correct?
Correct.
So at this time, and this is one of the things that you kind of drill into me, and I'm so glad because I kind of freaked out a little bit when we were configuring my switch. I thought, oh my God, it's a core switch, you know, because it was like you really have to be aware of what commands you are doing in what switch. So for me, again, the network diagram was a lifesaver for me because then I was able to look at, okay, what port am I in? Where am I at? Okay, here's the switch. This is what I'm configuring. You know, it's the SW2, you know, because we were looking at the SW1 earlier.
Correct. And that's something that's really important to take note of here is because, you know, in a production environment, you may have multiple windows open.
Mm-hmm.
You may be logged into 2 or 3 different devices. It's important to remember which device you're going to be putting the commands into because you may have to go to other devices to get information. But you have to remember, okay, this is a device I'm getting information from. I'm not configuring it. And even if you are configuring it at that moment, you may not be. It's just to gather information.
When we cut and paste the VLAN 51 configuration to do it on that, we went to the core switch and copied it. And then we we went ahead and pasted on my switch.
Right. So what we did was we took the port configuration.
Right.
And then we went on your data center switch, SW2, and we played around with the commands in configuration mode. What we didn't do is we didn't hit enter. Because if you hit enter on a Cisco switch, one of the things that I never liked about Cisco is that the configuration's live. So if you hit enter, that command stays there.
Right.
I'm used to Juniper, which is a much better situation where when you enter a command into Juniper, it's not live until you save the configuration, which is nice. Because if you make a mistake, you just roll it back. Right. There's a rollback command, and it puts it back to the previous configuration or the previous saved configuration, wiping out all of the things that you've done, and you haven't damaged anything yet.
Well, and another thing that I thought was really helpful was, you know, when you were saying, okay, go see what kind of VLANs we have on your switch. You know, and you had me use the command, show VLAN, right? How many ports were assigned to this? And then when we're looking at the ports, they show IP interface brief. No, show.
So there's a show IP interface brief. And then there's show VLAN.
Right, no, but the show IP interface brief, what was really nice is we noticed two of the ports that we had plugged in the Raspberry Pis were administratively down.
Yeah,
so we had forgotten to
correct.
Do the no-shut.
We'll get there in a minute. We'll get there mm-hmm. in a minute. So we went and then we finished creating our plan mm-hmm. based on some of the commands that we had learned from the core switch and practicing on your data center switch. And then we went ahead and said, okay, we're going to implement this. And as soon as we did that, I realized we had missed a few things. We didn't have what you were talking about before is the VLAN information. So the process here, if we want to summarize this quickly, is we have our change ticket. We go and gather information, which also includes creating your network diagram. And mm-hmm. you can do a network diagram pretty much anytime. But you know, I think that that's really important to have because it reminds you of how things are connected, all the stuff that you talked about. And then you can put in information like your IP addresses and everything else. So you got to have that. And then we got information from other devices like your core switch because we didn't remember certain things. And then we wanted to pull the configurations from that and use that elsewhere. And then we have your work. We copied certain configurations. We did some testing. We modified our plan. So there's a lot of stuff that goes into this project. And one of the things that I think is really interesting about this is that you're trying to play server admin with your Raspberry Pi data center. Look at how much networking is involved in getting that connected. So in a large environment, what's funny is that you're going to have server people who do server things, and you're going to have network engineers that do the network engineering piece. You do both. Because the server people in a large environment may not understand how to configure that switch for their server or understand what VLAN they're supposed to be in or how that's done on the switch. So there's a lot of things that I think we're doing that, you know, there are some people out there who can do both, but not everybody can do both and not everybody understands how that works. So when we talk about, oh, I want to be a server person, well, you should know some networking because your server is not going to function until the ports on the switch are configured properly, right?
Right.
So there's just a lot of stuff that goes into getting a server connected to the network. And now you're beginning to see that whole process of how that works. So now when we go into implementation, because we have our plan, we just copy and paste. This is one of the things that I think is really important. When, you know, in our case, we're in a test environment. We don't really have a maintenance window. But in a production environment, and what I used to do in a previous job, maintenance windows were typically, they were supposed to be midnight to 5 a.m. So if you're stuck doing something midnight to 5 a.m., that's not the time to create your plan because you want that to be done as soon as possible so you can go to bed. So if you have a plan that works for you, copy, paste, test, done. You tell everybody, hey, it works. I'm going to bed.
Well, and I think that the difficult part for someone like me would be like, okay, I mean, I understood the configurations that we did yesterday for what I was trying to do. But if I had to sit in there and, I know our core switch is configured properly. So then I would have to say, okay, so which command is it that I'm supposed to cut and paste? Determining something like that without having the experience is rather difficult. So I was glad in a way that you were holding my hand and saying, you know, where do you find the VLANs? You know, I knew the command. Where are your ports at? You know, where are they assigned at? Or, you know, are they up? Are they down or whatever? And I was able to come up with the commands. But when you said, oh, okay, we're going to put, you know, where is your workstation? I said VLAN 51, right? And you said, okay, so you're going to be on VLAN 51. It didn't even cross my mind that on my switch, I didn't have VLAN 51.
Yeah, and these are things that you're learning as you go through this process. And you're also learning that testing part. And you brought that up, I think, a couple episodes ago or something. You said we have to have a testing process.
Right.
So in this case, when you had all of your stuff configured and the commands were put in there and we did a, you know, copy run start to save everything, you did a show IP interface brief. Mm-hmm. And you'd already talked about this where some ports were down.
Right.
So we have to see those, and it said administratively down. Well, what does that mean? You got to go back in and reconfigure those so that they're not down.
Well, the thing was, you know, I was wondering why they weren't lit like the others, you know.
And that's another
thing. And I kept thinking, okay, well, those are going to come up. I know it's just maybe it's going to take time, like when the server wakes up, you know. And then, you know, when you said, okay, you need to be looking at this and see what's going on, because you had noticed it. And then when I saw they were administratively down, the minute that we did the no-shut, they came right up. So I think for the troubleshooting part, and then when you said, okay, do we have internet? I mean, I know the commands. I know to ping, you know, google.com or 8.8.8. And then, you know, I try to ping my default gateway. It's just out of habit. And you're like, well, if you reach google.com, you know, you can see your default gateway, but I still wanted to see it. You know, it's one of those things that...
Right, and you're doing all of this from your workstation because we moved your workstation from the core switch to your data center switch, SW2, and we tested to make sure, does this switch actually function the way that we want it to?
Right.
And based on your testing, hey, I have internet. I was able to ping Google. My traffic is flowing through switch 2, goes across the trunk port, hits the core switch, goes from the core switch to our Meraki. From the Meraki, goes out to the internet.
Right. And I think for me, this is why checklists are so important. I want to make sure now that I know what we were looking for and the reason why we were looking for it and how the whole piece is supposed to be put together and connected. You know, I want to do a checklist that is going to be bare bones because it's the first time that I did it. And then I want to have the testing or troubleshooting part, whatever you want to call it. And I think the next two times that I try to do this is going to be at that time where I'm going to need to tweak it, or if I feel like I'm missing something, or maybe something will come up that we didn't see. I don't know.
Yeah. And so this is where I want to get your thoughts on the process, because I'm going to tell you this. For me, I can do this in an afternoon.
Right.
So for me, the learning process is not the commands for the Cisco switches or the network design. For me, the learning process is, can I plan this properly? Can I come up with things that will help you understand what needs to be done and make sure that the process I come up with works, not just for you, but for me as well. And that's, you know, it goes back to that idea of all IT projects are giant. Where do I start? How do I make sure that I've included everything that we need so when we get to that implementation stage, copy, paste, test, done? That's what I'm shooting for. And I can tell you that while I've gotten better at it over the years from practice and just doing this all the time, there's work to be done because there's times when I'm working on a project and it doesn't go like copy, paste, test, done. I can't get to the copy paste because I realize while I'm getting ready to implement something, 10 things are missing. It's like, well, why did I miss that?
Like for me, it was different because after we got done with the project, one of the things that I thought, okay, would I have been able to gather the proper information? Would I have been able to put a plan together to be able to do this? Because, you know, you've done this before. You know your steps or whatever. For me, this is how I would have done it. I would have done the diagram first before anything. I would have figured out what VLAN I wanted to put it in, what ports I'm going to plug it in, right? And then I would have done just this, the switch part first by itself. Then I would have found the subnet, gotten the IP addresses, and done that. I think what I would have been confused, because that would have been that's the first thing that you and I, you know, when I sat in there and I was doing my ports and I went port one and you're like, isn't port one occupied? I would have figured it out. It would have taken me a little bit longer because, yes, port one was connected, you know, on my SW2 was connected to the SW1, the core switch. It would have taken me a little bit to figure that out. I would have sat in there going, okay, my switches are connected, so what do I do now? And then I thought, you already knew that VLAN 51 wasn't in there. For me, I would have sat in there, tried to figure out why things weren't working out. And then the very first thing I would have done is show run to see what configuration it is. And then I thought, why didn't I do that? Because we had a basic switch configuration and we usually start with that. Because remember, when we have too many things, when we did that other project a few episodes ago, we had so many things and we only needed a basic thing. And those huge things were causing problems and we couldn't get the project going. So at that time, we started with a basic configuration. Then I would have gone, okay, the VLAN would have been missing. I would have seen that when I did the show run.
Well, in this case, you would not. Because in this case, one of the things that is not in the running configuration is the VLAN information.
Mm-hmm.
That's in a totally different file.
Oh, no. Show IP interface brief.
No, show VLAN.
No.
You have to use show VLAN.
I understand. Yeah, show VLAN. No. So, but in the whole configuration, you wouldn't see the VLANs and how they're configured?
No.
Like you would have had the native VLAN, right?
Nope.
No.
And that's the confusing part. And that's why it's really important when you work with these different devices, whether that's a Windows server, a Linux server, a Cisco switch, there are some things that are goofy about that. And every system has that. Windows has some goofy things about it. Unless you have experience working with that device or somebody tells you.
And you know, I should have known that. I should have known that because usually when we want to see the VLANs, we do show VLAN, which tells me that that's one of my weaknesses. I'm assuming that it's going to be into the starting configuration in the Armina, into the basic configuration of the switch, but it isn't.
No, it's not.
You know, so there is a learning. See, yeah, that's why I need a checklist because I don't know these things. I want to be able to have something I can rely on, you know, because once that I look at the checklist when we do them, if there is something that I don't understand, I would go and I go, okay, why are we doing this? And then I'm able to reason it out because I know that you put it there. So it's obviously something that we need. And then it's up to me to figure out, okay, why do we need this? How is this connected to what? And how is it working? What does it do? You know? So I guess I stand corrected and very humbly feel like I would have not known how to plan for this project. I could have come up with bits and pieces, but if my job would have depended on planning this kind of project, I think I would have failed.
And a lot of people fail because they don't have the necessary information to be able to do it. They just don't. And they don't know how to get the necessary information.
But I mean, how would I even know to ask certain questions?
And that's why when you talk about your checklist, that's what's going to save you. Even people who know how to configure a Cisco switch, when it comes time to planning a network, planning a server implementation, and making sure that by the time they get ready to implement the process, the project, they have to go make their changes. Oftentimes, like I was telling you, they'll have some things they need to change, but then it won't work. Why? They're missing like 10 things. They're missing 10 things because they didn't gather enough information. They didn't know what to look for.
And you know, one of the things that I sit in here, I was feeling pretty good about, oh, I can do this project. I can do this. I understand things a little bit better. And yet, I don't lose sight that I'm still learning. But I think the hardest question for me to answer is, where do I start?
Yeah, and once you have some of those things figured out, especially in security, security makes it 10 times harder because you're dealing with stuff that is difficult to understand. It's the more technical side of things because you're looking at protocols. How do things communicate? What's the process for authentication? Where do I look for these things that are not working or they're vulnerable? How do I make sure that it's functioning the way it's supposed to be? In order for you to get to the security piece where it's harder, you have to understand the basics of how things are put together. And even at that level, I mean, look, this is a basic thing and we've got a whole page of stuff on here and there was just a bunch of stuff that we did. And all we wanted to do was plug your Raspberry Pis and your workstation into the switch and make sure they worked properly.
Well, here's a question for you. When you have someone that does nothing but servers, you know, because they're in organizations, they will have people assigned to one little task. And there is something that a network engineer needs to do. How do you work that out? Is it the responsibility of the network engineer to get it done so the server people don't have to worry about it? Or how do you work that? I mean, how do you justify working on a server not knowing the networking piece?
So in that case, one of the things that you might have in a larger organization are people who are going to manage the departments. Okay. And there's typically going to be somebody who's going to help organize these projects. And there's going to be somebody there who says, okay, your server is going into the network. We need the network people in here so they can tell us what's going on with the network. Because the server people are not necessarily going to know how the network is put together. And the network people are not really going to know what that server is for and how it's going to work and what it needs. You know, is there enough bandwidth on the network for all the traffic that's going to go to that machine? They're not going to know these things. Mm-hmm. So the server piece itself is complicated. Network people don't know that. The network side's complicated. The server people don't know that. So it's not like, you know, we look down upon server people for not knowing networking.
Oh, no, no. I just want to know who does what to make it work. Because ultimately, the network people need to know what the server people need. And the server people need to know what the network people do or need in order for it to make it work for both. So who does what? Like, whose responsibility is it to say, okay, server people, you know, or okay, network people? I mean, who does that?
You know, it might be like your IT manager might help out with some of that. But even some IT managers are not going to have all the answers because they may not be an expert at one thing or the other. So in that case, you may have to work with both sides. Server people are going to have to work with the network people, and you're going to have to come together and figure out, what are our requirements? How are we going to make this work? Do we need to buy anything new?
Right.
You know, maybe we need to upgrade the network in order for the server to work properly. So there's a lot of things that go into that.
I keep thinking about the planning that we did for a business needs, you know, how we kind of sat in there and say, okay, what kind of business is this? What kind of business needs are there for the IT department to run on this? So I was just wondering if it was the same kind of thing.
It is the same kind of thing. So you're going to go through that whole process. Mm. But keep in mind that most IT people can't do that. They're not thinking about business needs. They're not thinking about, oh, my server has to work on the network. So when they plug in the server, sometimes they're in situations where the server's working fine, but people complain because it's slow. Why is it slow? The network is not designed to handle that amount of traffic to that particular server. Changes are going to have to be made. But because you're talking to server people who don't really understand the network side, you end up with a goofy configuration that doesn't work properly.
And that is why I think that the ticketing system that we have is very useful for that. Because let's say that the server people go and they do something and they go ahead and they add it to the ticket. And then the server people come along and they do something else and they add it to the ticket. At least it's documented to where somebody can actually, that knows maybe both sides, let's say a project manager, maybe looking at both sides and go, wait a minute, server person did this and then the network people did this. But, you know, there's this piece that, you know, it's needed for both things to kind of run smoothly. Like maybe in order for all that traffic, you need to have more bandwidth and you need to make sure, well, you know, like you said, you need to buy a new device, whatever. No, I think we're on the right track. I think what makes me feel good about having failed in this little portion of the project is that I've learned a very valuable lesson. You know, as we do these projects, part of the thing that I wanted to learn is where are my weaknesses.
So I wouldn't call this a failure. What I would say is I would look at this and say, we gathered information and we made something work properly. Now what you're going to do, and we talked about this before, you may want to go back around and once this project is all done, we're going to review the documentation, and then you go back around and do it again yourself.
No, I guess what I call a failure is this. Show VLAN, I should have known. It's not in the basic configuration. And I should have known. And you know, this is the thing that is frustrating for someone like me that is not working in IT. I don't use it every day. Therefore, I have to sit in here and have this in the back of my head going, okay, I can only see this on the, you know, if I run that show VLAN command. And, you know, I think for people that are out there trying to learn IT before they get their first IT job, to have to keep all these things in mind when they're not using them every day is a rather difficult task. And that's why I think that doing the checklist is something that will allow you to forget that piece. But then when you're facing a project that is similar to something that you have done and you have used the show VLAN and know that's where it's at, you would go, oh, okay, this is where it is. Like right now, I know I won't forget that again. I won't make that mistake of saying, oh, show run and let me see. So anyway, those are my two cents. And it kind of bummed me out that, you know, something basic like that, I should have remembered, but I didn't.
No, and you're going to get there. And that's one of the things that going back around and doing this two or three more times, maybe not all of it, but you would do some of it.
Well, I think the documentation will help.
Right. And then as you do it, you know, two or three times, you're going to double check your list and see, okay, here's the second time. Here's the third time. What do I need to add? What do I need to take away? How do I reorganize things so that it's something that I can use? Because at the end of the day, it has to work for you.
Right. I mean, and what I like about what we're doing, though, is that we're treating it like if it's production. So, you know, we're gathering the checklist or we're making the checklist and gathering the information like we would for a real project. That is really nice that we have the luxury of putting it in a testing environment and be able to try these things before we actually try them live. It's nice. And, you know, also building a lab, you know, if and when I get an IT job and I need to implement something, you know, I would be able to know how to build a lab and test that in a testing environment before I can try that. So, you know, it gives me hope. It's just that, you know, sometimes when I forget something so basic, you know, it kind of, it's really frustrating, you know, or demoralizing, whatever you want to call it.
No, it's tough. And sometimes that happens to me. You know, I'm going to do something on a switch, on a server, haven't done it in a while, and then I forget something. Mm-hmm. And it may be basic, but I don't remember how to do that. So it happens to all of us.
It reminds me of martial arts, perishable skills. If you don't use them, you lose them, you know?
Yeah. But little by little, we're getting there because now you have your Raspberry Pis connected to the network. Now what you have to do is figure out how to get the network configurations on there so you can assign them IP addresses and then begin to start adding services to them, like SSH.
Mm-hmm.
So little by little, we're going to get there. Yeah. Do you have anything else you want to say?
No. I'm actually, like I said, I'm really looking forward to completing the project because I think you're right at the end of it. I'm going to have a set of skills that I didn't have before I started. So I'm glad about that.
Yeah. If you have any comments or questions, you can email us at info@section9.us. And if you want to take a look at our show notes, you can go to section9.us.
Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening.